May 10th, 2022, Heather Stocking talking to Bonnie Spears. Okay.
First of all, thank you for having me. I'm married and have been happily married for just about 53 years to Larry Spears and part of the Spears family. But I thought that it might be nice for my family and grandchildren and friends to know the Bonnie Stewart before I married Larry Spears. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about my life. And so again, my name is Bonnie Jean. My maiden name was Stewart, so very Scottish. Mm-hmm. I was born March 21st, 1947. I was the oldest of four children. I was born in 47, my brother 48, my sister 51, and my youngest sister, a surprise package, was 1960. So always, and two of them have carrot red hair, and then the other, we were born to my mom and dad, Doug and Mark Stewart.
And Margaret?
Margaret, yes, I'm sorry.
No, yeah. That's all right.
Douglas and Margaret Stewart. Okay, so I was going to say a little bit about my dad, Douglas. Sure. Douglas Stanley Stewart was born in May 21st, 1921. First, a little bit about his family.
Do you know where he was born?
I'm sorry. He was born in Edmonton, Alberta. Okay. Yeah, he was. But his parents were, his dad was born in 1876, and he was Donald Gavin Stewart, and he was born in Tomintoul, Scotland. And it was so nice, because 2 years ago we went on a cruise through the British Isles, and we hired a taxi just to go up and walk around Tomintoul, where he was born, or his family was born. And so that was pretty mean. And actually it was with myself and Larry and my youngest sister, Liz, and her husband. So very meaningful. And very, I don't know if you've been to Scotland, but
yeah.
Beautiful. Has, yeah. And the wild cows,
the Highland cows. Yeah.
Anyway, so a little bit about him. He had fiery red hair. And I believe he had a temper to go with it. I'm not sure. But he worked around. And I think what happened in his life is mother passed and his dad married again. And he didn't get along so well with his stepmother. So he left home early, like about 17, and went to South Africa and worked in the diamond mines for quite a few years. And that's where he met the lady of his life, Gwendolyn Maud Hopkins. And she was born the same, in 1882 in Bristol, England. And so they went and married, and they eventually moved to Canada. And I think they had their first two boys in South Africa, and then the rest. Eventually they had seven boys and one girl. Mm-hmm. And my dad was the youngest of the boys. So.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was. And when they moved to Canada, they moved around. Where did they have the fire? He became a Northwest Mounted Policeman. And there was a fire in Wainwright, I think, that cleaned out a lot in the 30s.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he was a part of that.
When they came to Canada, they came straight to Alberta to settle? Or?
They did. They came right actually to Edmonton, because the other, I think, five children were born in Edmonton, my dad was born in Edmonton.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's them. And then a little bit about Maud. Very English. I remember Dad always saying that she always had a day. Like, I think she warmed the water up on Sunday, washed her clothes on Monday, hung them out to dry on Tuesday. Like, she has every day. Mm-hmm. And it was a real treat on Saturdays. They each had one egg. Like, that was a real treat, you know. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a lot of money, right? And so they liked, and the Stewart clan were noticed for their sweet, they had a sweet tooth. Mm-hmm. So even when I was growing up, or when Dad was, we'd always, on Friday nights, we'd go to the Palace of Sweets, in Edmonton, and got our sugar fix. Which is okay. My dad was, again, Douglas Stanley Stewart. He worked with Air Canada for 43 years. So we had lots of, But okay, a little bit about my dad. He worked with the, or he was a part of the Royal Canadian Air Force during World War II. And so he worked, I think, a couple of years with Air Canada, and then he went overseas.
Was he a mechanic or a pilot?
No, he was, he actually was a bombardier.
Oh.
So he wanted, his dream was to be a pilot, right? Mm-hmm. And he didn't have the vision, peripheral vision that you need to, but anyway, he still wanted to fly airplanes and he still wanted to fly for, you know, for the Canadian Air Force. So he went over, and on one of his trips out over Germany, their plane was shot down. And I think three of the seven crew members were killed, but he was captured. And he was a prisoner of war for 15 months.
Wow.
Which was a long time,
yeah.
A really long time. And so, yeah, that was hard on him. He never, it's funny, when growing up, he never ever talked about it, right? It was just something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but Mom, I remember Mom was a nurse, and she would always say, you know, there were times he would just shake in the bed. And anyway,
So that was like...
That would have been in 40...
But like PTSD kind of thing? Like before we knew what PTSD was?
I think you're absolutely right, Annie. Yeah.
What they called shell shock.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think... And so my sister, the youngest, the spoiled one, was she was the vice principal at Vegreville High School. And on Remembrance Day, a couple of the Remembrance Days, she would get up and speak about, okay, so... Okay, so he was shot down, and after the war was over, so that would have been in 45, 46,
mm-hmm.
They marched the prisoners from Germany to where they were, the prisoner of war camp, to, I guess, the English borders, and then they transported them somehow, but he was in a hospital anyway, but on his way marching, he caught dysentery, which, not so good. Mm. So he...
He probably wasn't in the best of health anyway, being a prisoner of war.
No, you know, he could never eat turnip, because they lived on turnip peeled, turnip peels was their soup, that they... Mm. Anyway, mm-hmm. And so he went to a hospital with his dysentery, and they helped him. And in the hospital, his brother, an older brother, Uncle Headley, went to visit him, because they knew he was there. And, you know, he walked right by his bed and didn't... Because he probably had a beard, and he was 125 pounds, like skin and bones, eh? Mm-hmm. But anyway, they got through that, and so, yeah. And so how he met my mom was kind of romantic or interesting. My mom's brother was also in the same camp, a prisoner of war camp. And somehow, maybe in the hospital, they got to know each other, and so they flew home, and my mom and Uncle Bill, his friend in the prisoner of war camp, flew home to Prescott, Ontario, which is where my mom was raised, on the St. Lawrence River. She, they flew home, flew to Prescott, and that's where they met. That's where Mom and Dad met, and then I think 2 years, well, maybe even 1 year later, he came back and proposed. Like, he went to Edmonton, to his home, and then came back and proposed to her in Prescott. And
so they were writing letters back and forth then?
They were. And, and so then they married, and they had four children. Okay, so that's Dad's side. And so I think my reason for talking about is that, because he was from Scotland and England, and that's kind of where our heritage was from his side.
Okay.
And then my mom was English. Her parents, she was born in Prescott, and her parents ran the china shop in Prescott. It's just a small town, a china shop in Prescott. And they also, the people from Prescott would come and pay their power bills. It's called the Bell, I think it was the Bell phone bills. They would go there and pay those as well. So her dad, was James Stuart Miller, and he was born in 1891. And
Stuart, the common STEW?
Yes.
Okay.
Although it's confusing, because His dad was James Stewart, and that Stewart is S-T-U-A-R-T. So, okay. So oh, I'm sorry. Yes, nope. You were saying, yeah, the Stewart, the S-T-E-W is on my dad's side, right? It's okay. The Scottish. And that's Bonnie Jean Stewart. You couldn't get more Scottish, could you?
No. Not really.
Anyway, I feel blessed. I'm happy to have it. Okay, so Mum's dad was James Stewart Miller, and he and his wife ran this china shop. And her name was Miriam Jean Connerty. And they were both born in the same year, 1891. She was a kindergarten teacher. And so she, I don't know. This is where, I don't know if, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm a picture person. If you come to my house, this would be my mom. And this is her aunt. And she, Mom had, James and Miriam had five children. So my mom was the oldest, mm-hmm. and then Uncle Bill, and then they had a set of twins, two girls, Mary and Anne, and then the baby was Uncle Bill.
Okay.
So that's kind of a nice picture of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you...
That could be scanned, yep.
Okay. Yeah. And this is kind of neat, too. This shows my mom, she was a nurse. And she, and this is my dad, he was, and they were Air Force, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's Uncle Bill. And so they came over, and so yeah, it was kind of a nice
picture. Are they holding hands back there?
I you know what I noticed? Because I'm an athlete, he's smoking.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. He is holding. Yeah, and that's different okay. time.
Well,
right?
And you know, he didn't when mm-hmm. when we were growing up, but yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, interesting, but... Anyway, so they came back, and she never did go abroad. She stayed back in Toronto and worked in the when the soldiers came back, and she looked after the injured soldiers that came back from.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that. And then this was me. This is I was going to talk about my life, because Dad worked for Air Canada. We got free passes to go places, and so this. This is my grandma, so that's Miriam and James Stewart, right?
Okay.
And there's my mum, Margaret.
Between them, yeah.
Yeah, and there's Uncle Bill, Annie Joan, and the two twins, Mary and Anne. And this is me, with the Scottish skirt on, and my brother Bill, and my youngest sister, or my young sister, Barb. Liz wasn't, actually Liz is, she is... Right here.
So another picture.
The carrot, okay. Yeah, carrot red hair. But yeah, she and Bill had carrot red hair, and then Barb and I were brunettes. Okay. Kind of red. Anyway, I like this picture because it shows. And this is in Prescott. This is in, we call her Nanny and Grandpa.
Okay.
Miller. Her maiden name, her mom's maiden name was Miller. Anyway, so... Okay, so then this is my life now. Is there anything about my mom's side of the family that?
Well, what did your mom do?
Oh,
after
she was a nurse. Well, she was a nurse until she married,
mm-hmm.
and then she stayed. She was content to stay home with us.
Okay.
So she stayed home and raised us. And then when we got older and left, she went back and worked in intensive care.
Oh, wow.
Well, she loved knitting, and quite often in intensive care, you're just watching monitors, and so she would knit and do her,
mm-hmm.
but and she was a night person, which I never was, but she would do lots of her shifts would be the midnight shift, and she'd be quite content to work there and then sleep during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, so now... Is there something, anything else that...
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So that's English, and then there was Scottish and English on my dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my life... So I was born March 21st, the first day of spring, 1947. So after the war, right?
Mm-hmm.
After they were married in 46, and they had me in 47, so they didn't waste much time.
No.
And I was raised... I was born and raised in Edmonton. And again, I was just going to say that Dad worked for Air Canada, and growing up we did, it was so nice. And when we were going to school in the summer, we were able to get these free passes, and mm-hmm. all of us would get on the flight, and just spend a month or 2 months in Prescott with Mom's family, which was so, yeah.
What did your dad do for Air Canada?
He worked at the ticket office. In fact, when I was going to university, he got me jobs, and I was able to work at the ticket office with him. And because I was living at home and getting fed at home, the money that I made there was enough to pay. There, the tuition wasn't like it was now. But I was able to pay for the tuition. So when I graduated, I didn't have any debt, right? I was able to get out there and teach. But anyway, okay, so we went to Prescott and enjoyed our other cousins, our Miller cousins. In Edmonton, I went to Strathairn Elementary and Junior High. And there, in grade 9, I had a phys ed teacher, Miss Hoffa, you meet some people in your life and they become an influence in what you want to do. Well, she was a spectacular teacher, and she worked with us in basketball. Were you a basketball
player?
Oh, yeah. So she worked with us from September until our tournament in November, or even maybe it was even in the new year. But we would go to school early in 7, and we would practice, and we'd practice with the boys. Mm. So, and that would make us better, right? Because we'd be playing with the boys. Anyway, and Strathairn was not, it's by Bonnie Doon. I don't know if you're familiar with Edmonton.
Yeah.
Okay, south side.
Yeah.
So Strathairn Junior High School, we won the city championship, which was quite a feather in our cap because it was a small school and we were going up against huge, mm-hmm. like Hardesty Junior High, a lot of the big schools. But anyway, so we were able to win that. So that was kind of a motivation for me to want to be a phys ed teacher. And that's kind of was my goal after my experience with Miss Hoffa. And then when I went on to high school, which is at Bonnie Doon, and now it's called Vimy Ridge Academy. It's they take students that are specialized in a sport like hockey and they do the academics, but they also have coaches to coach the. So it's called Vimy Ridge Academy of Sports. Anyway, at Bonnie Doon, I played volleyball, basketball, track and field, and our team won the provincials in curling. So I curled at the Shamrock Curling Rink. It was quite close to Bonnie Doon.
Okay.
Anyway, so we won the city championship there. So I was involved in sports. Mm-hmm. I was a hard worker in school, but I was I really enjoyed the sports. And even now when I watch the Oilers tonight, mm-hmm. or
right.
or the Blue Jays, I get a high in the athletic excellence
and
what they, and I'm probably the lot, like we had all of our kids, like we had five of our own children, and so we coached them. I was probably the loudest parent. Sure. But they didn't mind, and I wasn't critical or negative. I was just encouraging.
Right.
Just, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I was as a coach, too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, in 1965, I attended, so from Bonnie Doon, I went to the U of A University, and I was in the Faculty of Physical Education, which is in that particular year, 65, was the last of the 3-year program.
Okay.
So I graduated in phys ed, and then I went back and registered in the faculty because I wanted to be a teacher, and I graduated, I think, in 74 with a Bachelor of Education, and so that was with distinction. I really, it seems when you find your joy, mm-hmm. you blossom, and so I really enjoyed the schooling, and while I was at U of A, I did compete on the basketball team as a panda, and I also was a panda on the curling team, so I was able to be, that was a part of my life. And then in 1969, this made Larry laugh, we fell in love. I met Larry in one of my criminology classes. Criminology class.
Okay.
One of our options that we were had to take.
All right.
Anyway, so I
so,
said.
So if teaching didn't work out, you wanted to be a police officer? Or?
Oh, no. No, when you go through the faculty is you have to take certain options.
Okay.
And that was just an option.
Just someone that interested you. And
It did, for sure.
And so he was in that class as
well? He was in the faculty of education.
Okay.
Specializing in phys ed, mm-hmm. where I took my phys ed degree and then I took... Anyway, Larry always says that we met in a revolving door, and we've been going around ever since. Can you see him saying that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so 53 years later, we're still. Mm. So that's kind of where.
So sorry. Yeah. So you were taking this criminology course, and what was he doing?
He was taking the same option.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, but after that, he said it took a long time for him to get the courage to call me, but he did.
Yeah.
And yeah, so. We went out a bit. It was 69 and or 68, I think, and we married in 69. So he was 20, just about 27, and I was 22. So we were kind of mature. We were ready,
mm-hmm.
ready for, okay. And yeah. And then I didn't talk about our children. Do you want to talk about?
We can.
Okay.
I was going to ask you though. Do you think that it was a long time? Like, could you tell that he was interested in you or?
He was so shy.
Yeah.
You have no idea how shy he was.
Now.
No, and you know what his mother would say, that when he was growing up, the neighbor lady would say, you know, I never hear a word out of Larry. Mm-hmm. Does he ever talk? And later in years, Larry's mom would say, you know, he doesn't stop.
He was saving it up.
Yeah, he was. He was saving it up. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Anyway, this is the steward. I didn't show you. Sorry.
Okay.
So this is my mom, and they were raised in Prescott, Ontario. So they, and this is the good-looking brother. This is Uncle Bill, and then they had two twins, Auntie Anne and Auntie Mary, and then the baby was Joan, Auntie Joan. So this was taken.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have a date, but yeah, taken when they were growing up. And this auntie, I think, lived with them, Norton's sister. Yeah. Anyway, and so. This way, I'll just. So I was explaining to Heather that my mum's brother Bill and my dad were prisoner of war during the Second World War, and Uncle Bill brought Dad to Prescott, where he met my mum.
Oh.
So that's where they corresponded for a year or so, and then Dad went back to Prescott. He lived in Edmonton. His family was in Edmonton, so came back and. And proposed to Mum, and they went. She's the only one of all that family that went. That went west.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Aust.
So when did they? What year did they come to Edmonton? Or your mom? They get married in.
Yeah. That would have been 40. When I was born in 47, they must have come in 46.
Okay.
Yeah, 46.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then your mom was just like you said, she was happy to stay home. And
she was a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is later on, but this is a really good picture because it has my grandparents, mom's mom and dad, Nanny and Grandpa Miller, mm-hmm. and this is my mom, Margaret, and there's her good-looking brother,
mm-hmm.
Uncle Bill, and these are the twins, Anne and Mary, and oh. Annie Joan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me.
Oh,
with the Scottish.
I had an outfit just exactly.
Did you?
Yeah,
And then my brother was just a year younger, carrot red hair,
mm-hmm.
and then this is my sister. She's 4 years, and then my youngest. She was a surprise package, Lizzie. She was 13 years.
A surprise package.
I always told her she was the best surprise we ever had. Anyway, she, So she was 13 years younger and. And she also had carrot red hair.
Mm.
But I was telling Heather that she became, she was a teacher. She and her husband were teachers in Vegreville. And she, Dad was a prisoner of war. She would get up, she was the vice principal at the end, and she'd get up on Remembrance Day, and because kids don't understand the sacrifice that those men made. And she, you know, she'd get up and speak, and probably for a half an hour, and she said you could hear a pin drop, that, you know, they were listening, and they mm-hmm. did maybe try to understand that.
It would be hard, because if you don't have pictures, or you don't have whatever, you know, it's hard for them
mm-hmm.
to...
Yeah, really for sure. Anyway, so that's me before Larry. Okay. And but you know, we've had quite a rich life, you know, being able to raise five kids, and they're all, you know, coming home and happy and have families.
What was it like for a city girl to move to the country?
Yeah, well, that was quite an adjustment. I was 28 years in the city, and then we moved. And so when we moved, when we finally did buy get our property, which was Larry's grandparents' farm, our oldest boy Troy was five, and our second Riley was three, and our baby Reggie was just born. He was born in October, and we moved in May to a house that was built. I'm not sure if it was by the Spears, but it had running cold water.
Just cold.
So just cold until, like, we moved in May, so by the time winter came, we did get septic tank and we did get stuff, but yeah, and so...
So it was an outdoor toilet?
Yeah, well, of course, a two-seater, actually. White. Oh. It was the White House, actually, two-seater. And you know what? I got it at a sale, Ringer washer, but it leaked. Oh. And so I had to plug it into the outside socket, and so I did all my, and you know, I have an album of pictures, and I couldn't find them, but I have pictures of that and I was so afraid my fingers were gonna get caught in that on the rollers, but anyway, I used that for all the diapers and all the washing, and
right, because back then there were no disposable diapers.
No.
Do you know the year your parents were married?
My parents, it was March 23rd. And it would have been 46, right? Because I was born in 47. Yeah. So Douglas and... I don't know if it would be Bessie Margaret or Margaret Bessie. She didn't like the name Bessie. So everybody called her Marg.
I thought it was Maud.
What's that?
No, that's her grandma.
This, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Grandparents married,
sorry. Oh, were you talking grandparents?
Yeah,
sorry. I apologize. Okay. I do have that someplace else.
Okay, I won't put the year in now, but if
you know what? It would be in here. Just. Honeymoon, where he found a beautiful home for her with servants to help to keep her fit for a queen.
And Joseph Berg after they were married. Okay.
Yep.
So you think that she had left and gone back to Bristol while he was at, like, fighting the war?
You know, I'm not
forward?
Quite sure. Oh, okay. I'm not, I should be reading this more, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And then in 1906, that's when the oldest, Keith, and he was born in England. And Walter was born Forest Hills, the suburb of London. So they were both born in England.
Okay.
And in 19, a trip to the...
Sorry, and you said they were married in 04, and he was born in 06. Okay, so they weren't in a hurry.
No. No, they weren't. No. And then I think, it looks like they have three abroad. And then Uncle Hedley was born in 1913 in Edmonton.
Okay.
So he was the first born in Canada. I was trying to see where he met Mom and... Well, he met Mom at Durban in Natal province, not too far from Josephburg, where he worked in the diamond mines in 1899. And then he joined the cavalry, where he was known for two things, the best shot and the worst horseman. And then the Boer War was over in 1902, and then he went to where Mom was waiting for him. So they don't really say where she was waiting.
Okay.
But, yeah. The Stuarts had a tremendous sense of humor. Oh, my goodness. They showed each other no patience or no mercy at all. When, you know, as grandchildren, we just kind of sat and listened, eh?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we were talking about moving to the farm.
Okay. Oh, yes. Okay.
Right. So you and Larry got married, and then you was 6 years in Edmonton?
He was at Nate. Mm-hmm. And actually, I taught part-time for... Because I just had Troy then, so I taught part-time with the Edmonton Public for 2 years. I taught Brightview and Hardesty Junior High,
okay,
where I coached basketball and taught phys ed and math. And then, we went for 6 years, and you know, Larry got restless, and I didn't understand what this restlessness was, because I was quite content to be raising my kids and doing the things, but he needed more than just that 9-to-5 job, and mm-hmm. and he missed the farming, the chores, and being outside and doing things. And so this land came up for sale, and so, and I knew nothing about anything, so I was game. So so for two years I taught, and then I got pregnant with Riley, and so after that I decided to stay home. And so we caretook apartment blocks to be able to save money maybe to buy a house right. in the city. So we did that. And then once we were able to get, it was interesting. We bought 4/4 of land when we bought land, and we paid the same amount as the money we got when we sold our house. So isn't that unbelievable? Mm-hmm. 4/4 of land and one house in the city was 46,000, yeah. Yeah, so that's, so we felt lucky too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we were there. So, and Larry's mom, bless her soul, was just up the road, 3 miles. And did you, any of you know, did you know Bessie at all? No. Yeah. Or did you know Gladys Spence? No, you'll probably get to know her because yeah. she's a sister. And so they taught me everything I knew. Like, I'd never put a garden in. I didn't know anything about flowers but I think being in phys ed and learning how to work hard, you learn that, yeah. and if you want it, you do it. And,
yeah.
and so I, you know, in one of the pictures that I have, I have a cat on my shoulder, and I'm peeling parsnips that are that size because wow. they're huge, right? And mm-hmm. I'd never eaten a parsnip in my life, but I grew them because they thought mm-hmm. they said they were good, and they are, mm-hmm. aren't they? And so So I did learn how to garden and. Do those kind, and then we decided to have some cattle, mm-hmm. and we got Cherry, poor Cherry, our milk cow. I had never milked a cow, and so they said, "Have you milked a cow?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so I knew this, but I didn't know this.
Oh.
Yeah. And so after 20 minutes, she had blisters mm-hmm. on her. And I, like it wasn't that off, so I had to get cream for it.
Yeah.
But I learned. Yeah. And so we had fat dogs and cats because I would give them. And you know, it's funny, our two sons, they didn't care for the, because I guess they were already used to the pasteurized milk from the city,
mm.
but I used it for everything else, and I had them shaking jar for to make butter and all those kinds of things. Like, yeah, did mm-hmm. you do that?
Yeah, lots of shaking, yeah.
Yeah, lots of shaking, yeah. Yes, and so those are the kinds of things that,
mm-hmm.
But now, after we're 58, we moved in 75, so we're, what are we, 48, 47 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now I'm past doing all of that and happy just to be a part of, like this morning we had to ear tag a calf and go out. And my job in the morning is so nice. I'm able to go out and check. We have 85 live, healthy baby calves, and I just go out and check and make sure they're all happy and kicking up their heels, and so that's kind of my job.
So you still have the 4/4 of land, or
we do, and we will we'll give them, like, we, I think both Larry and I want to keep the farm in the family, so
mm-hmm.
I our oldest son is there now and helping us, and but he lost his wife a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
And that's a heartbreaker,
yeah.
And anyway, but so he's, Troy is still working through that, but you know, we'll just see how life, but we're hoping that maybe those quarters will stay in the Spears name.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So what did you have when you moved out there? Like, you say there's, what, 85 head of cattle? How many cattle do you have now, 90?
You know, we've fluctuated.
Okay.
Like, we had as many as 200 at one time when mm-hmm. Larry retired from being a principal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're down, and now Troy has half, and he's bought some really good quality Black Angus bulls. So we have some, like Troy said this morning, Mom, I think this is the best calf crop we've ever had.
Oh, wow.
Of course, I say that every year, because I deliver, and he and I tag, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we have to tag and give them needles and stuff. Yeah.
You obviously have chickens.
We do, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're down to 12, and you know, I'm still getting 10 eggs, so they're still happy.
Yeah,
so
good.
So we're lucky.
Did you ever have pigs over the years?
We did have pigs, yeah. Mm-hmm. So once our kids grew, our youngest, I stayed home for 14 years and looked at and raised them and coached them. And then when our youngest, Brandy, went into kindergarten, Larry hired me as a kindergarten teacher at Rochester. So I was there for a couple of years. And so I can tell you a cute story. I don't know. I still get responses, but anyway, when I did start teaching again after being at home for 14 years, we went to a function in, I think it was Onaway or anyway, and so he got up to introduce me, and he said, you know, Bonnie, she had an advantage. She was sleeping with the principal. and of course, my face, because I was trying to show him, because the first time I've met most of these teachers, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. But I'm still getting that. And are you still sleeping with the principal? And I said, oh, yes.
Yeah. He's got that sense of humor. Yeah, it's hard to imagine knowing him now. It's hard to imagine him being silent.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Yeah, it is, and to keep things, but I think that's because of his hearing. He has, and that's a buy. You know, you just adjust to it. You just make the most of it. But he was. But they were all shy. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole family were shy, and so But when he got out and got some success, and he didn't really have success until he got high school, university, and that's when. You know, his work ethic kind of kicked in, and he was able to do things.
I listening to him talk. It didn't sound like it was the best.
Growing up,
right?
No, I don't know if you've had liquor. I was blessed. I didn't have liquor, but his dad was a drinker. And Bessie, you know, she's just an amazing person. I'm so glad, you know, that they have a, and they have nice pictures of her too. I used to always have them because she was only 3 miles away, so the family would usually come to our place to for Christmas or Easter, or and she'd always be happy to be there.
That's good.
Yeah, no, she and I were close. She helped me lots.
It's a big difference going from the city to the farm.
Well, there's some, I mean, you should have seen the first few, like Troy or Larry's oldest brother. I think the first time I had a red high hair boots that you zip up, red plastic, and then a red leather coat. Right? Okay. And he was taking me through the cattle. And Donald was pretty quick to say, you know, she's not going to last 6 months here.
Oh.
And I always chuckled at him and said, well, I just had to learn how to dress.
So what else did you, like when you were growing up, did your mom do canning and stuff like that?
Or you know, she did pickled beets and she did some, oh yeah, she did some stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, but nothing like what we, like, I think I'm famous now is for my raspberry jam, but last year it wasn't such a great crop, but this year I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm out there now cleaning the canes because.
But
we should warm up maybe soon. But
do you know? Sorry to bother you, but do you know what, like your grandfather?
So over the years you had all sorts of animals. You guys taken foster kids too, or
no? We never did that, but we did adopt.
Right.
A girl that. Actually, was our oldest son's, between Troy and Riley, that is, she was a foster girl with the Baxton dolls from a dysfunctional family. But you know, she would come to at Christmas and Easter with Troy or Riley, and she just jumped right in and help. And so after a few years, we just decided that maybe we didn't formally adopt her, but she was out last for Mother's Day. And, you know, she brought stuff, and she just is part of the family.
Right.
And every night I always wish each of the kids sweet dreams, and she's one of them. Yeah, six of them.
You don't need that formal adoption, really, to call someone family.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
No, and she has a daughter that's married, and so it was her daughter and herself that came out just for a couple hours, just to touch base, and and she has a very, very good job. She travels all over.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she's in HR, human resources, with, actually when I was teaching, she had to do with the pensions for the schools. She had a lot to do with that, which is paperwork I'm much rather be doing with the kids and doing stuff.
Yeah. So you taught at Rochester School for a couple of years in kindergarten?
I did. I was the aide. Yeah, and I, yes, probably, well, maybe even 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
And then a job came up at Athabasca, which I was, you know, I was trained high school, junior high school, and basketball. And my daughters became, Larry was so good, he taught skills well at Rochester. So when they moved up to me, they already had the skills, right?
You could tell which kids came from Rochester.
And they were on my team, right? But I didn't show favoritism, but anyway, but we did well. We went to provincials lots, and we traveled. And you know, at times, the parents didn't drive a lot, but we had buses, and Larry would quite often drive the bus for me, which was so nice. So he's there driving the bus and cheering for his daughters. And
Was it Landing Trail or EPC?
EPC.
Okay.
Yeah, Athabasca. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were up at the old one.
I was, yeah. And so many good memories. You know, really. I think 12 years.
Okay.
I was there. Yeah. Yeah, it was, I always tell people, I don't remember a negative day of teaching. You know, you can look at things negatively, but there's always something good about the day and the kids. And I think teaching phys ed, sometimes you can push them past what they're used to. And yeah, I always had lots of satisfaction. But yeah, and I told you before that I just want the kids to know that, you know, it's nice that they know where their grandma's coming from as well.
Yeah, exactly.